Welcome to the Word on the Street podcast. It is May 7th, the year 2012. As always, this is Ramses coming to you live. Well, actually, no, we're not live. We're recording this. I'm here with my co-host of the Word on the Street podcast, still around, still undefeated, Coach Jamie, the living legend, Huey. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good, man. How are you guys? Good to be back on.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. It's just me today. Unfortunately, Jake from the MMA podcast is, he's on a mission trying to, you know, win the love of his life tonight. He's got a hot date. I may or may not be making that up. He might just be hanging out with a friend, eating wings and drinking beer. And of course, co-host Ninja, he's doing ninja shit. Who knows what he's up to? He can't talk about that. So it's just me and Coach Huey. And we're just going to catch up finally. It's been a while, actually, Coach. I'll just start it off right now. Coach, where have you been the past few weeks? The fans and listeners, they want to know. They want to make sure you haven't turned your back on the Word on the Street podcast on Team Darkside. Some of them didn't even, some of them just don't quite grasp the fact that you had a fight week on your hands, which is, I'm guessing, busy. Hopefully, in your own words, you can take us kind of through that. What have you been up to since our last podcast, which I believe was the one with Front Row Brian? What's up?
Oh, man. I mean, it's been a busy 4 weeks. You know, we had the Ultimate Fighter finale, followed by, UFC 159 with Chael and John. Boy, it's been a wild ride, man. Then, obviously, people, you get personal stuff, obstacles that get thrown in your path. You got to deal with life. And, you keep it moving, man. So it's definitely been a crazy 4 weeks, but, I missed the podcast, man. It's good to be back. I got the opportunity to hang out with some of our friends over there in Las Vegas, and then also over in Newark, New Jersey. And, it's definitely good to be back, man. I missed being on.
Yeah, I'll definitely ask you about a few people that I know you met up with in Jersey. I just wanted to ask, we did the Word on the Street. Actually, it was hard move going forward without you, but we had two podcasts the fight week of UFC 159. Before the fight, we had two podcasts. They were live, and we had actually an insane record number of callers. I don't know if you had a chance to listen, but if not, you definitely should. It was hilarious. I mean, all we did was just bash Jones, just repeatedly different callers. We had up to 14 callers. It was a record on the one podcast. I had to stop taking calls. Everyone wanted to get in and just bash Johnny. So definitely take a listen to that. Yeah, you were mentioned more than a few times. But let's get it out of the way. UFC 159. Let's get the fight out of the way, really. What was, John Jones versus Chael Sonnen for the light heavyweight title? It almost went the full round. Coach Huey, what was your perspective of it? Like, where were you watching the fight from? And just tell us what you think about it now, looking back.
I don't know. I think I was about, maybe like 7 or 10 rows back. Sat with a good friend, AJ, and his buddy Andy was there. Shout out to a good friend Amanda for hooking up the tickets. What can you say about the fight, man? It's heartbreaking. I don't know. I'm obviously disappointed for my friend. You can't take anything away from John. I know that our podcast friends don't want to hear that, but the guy is amazing, man. Physically, he's like a physical savant. I don't know how else to explain him.
I agree.
If I'm going to use Chael's words, it's one thing to, lose a fight. It's another thing to be beaten at your own game. Nobody does that to Chael Sonnen. I've been around him since 2005 or whatever, 7 or whatever it was around when he started WC with Paul Filio, and I have never seen him get taken down by anybody. you know, yeah, possibly he had an off night. We had a good training camp. But you know, it's you know, I'd rather just give John his credit, man. To be honest with you, I mean, you know, Chael is on a whole nother level when it comes to what he does. But John went out and did the right stuff and won the fight, and he's an amazing guy, man. It's like, you know, he's the Floyd Mayweather of MMA. And unfortunately, you know, in any other era, you know, Chael would be a champion, and I really believe that. It just happens that, you know, this guy just happens to be in our way right now. Anybody can lose. We could beat that guy. We can definitely beat that guy. But unfortunately, that wasn't our night. And again, I'll give credit to John, man. I'm not going to take anything away from him.
Yeah, as much as, you know, we had fun bashing John, the Leprechaun, Broken Yellow Bones Jones, his strength in that fight was actually phenomenal. It appeared to be almost superhuman to me. In fact, it was, you know, you're paying your respects. You're saying, you know, John, you know, he's just that next level guy. I, however, think I have my suspicions, though. I'll keep the conspiracy angle always working here. You know, the earlier episodes I was mentioning, actually, we were actually theorizing a little bit about some influence that John might have had, but they were all ridiculous. But yes, I was definitely surprised at the way the fight went down. I did not see it going down in that way. I don't know what to make of this John Jones kid. But I got to ask, now that it's all over, if your cell phone blows up and it's Johnny Bones calling you, Coach Huey, and, like, you know, his toe is glued back on and whatnot, and he wants some boxing coaching and training from the living legend himself, do you think you'll give the kid a chance now? I know he tried to, you know, he obviously, for any new listeners, John Jones propositioned Coach Huey and tried to steal him away as a coach from Chael Sonnen during the filming of The Ultimate Fighter. But now that it's all over, Coach Huey, let's say Johnny gives you a call, you know, is it all cool now? Are you willing to show the kid a trick or two? What's the word?
Well, you know, I'm very loyal to the people that I'm around. I would never do anything outside of talking to Scott and Clayton and Chael. And I have other priorities. You know, Lightning Liz McCarthy is a huge priority to me.
Yeah.
Tommy Leesman. I have an amateur, Justin Mark. Then I've got a couple other fighters in the gym. Oscar Herrera, a boxer that's probably going pro this year.
Nice.
So I have some other priorities as far as people that I've committed to.
Yeah, you hear that, Johnny? Get in line, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. But, you know, aside from that, I work with John, you know, with Chael's blessing? Yeah, I would work with him. I think he'd be good to come up here. And obviously, you know, most of the guys that Chael's fought have come up here. I mean, Brian Stan came up here and spent some time with us. You know, Yushin Okami obviously comes up and trains with us quite a bit. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things, man. I mean, you know, iron sharpens iron. So it only makes sense to get in and get work with those guys that sometimes you lose to, sometimes you beat. But,
yep.
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, on a personal level, do I like John? I do, man. He's 24 years old. He's a young guy. I think John is kind of caught in a place where he wants to be a certain person, but he's not quite matured to that type of person yet. He knows what he wants to be. He's not quite there yet. The best thing I've ever done for myself is try to surround myself around good people, and that's really kind of leveraged me into some of the opportunities and the positions that I've been fortunate enough to be in. You know, I mean, if John wanted to come up and do rounds and work with us, I think there'd definitely be something that he could benefit from. Maybe it's something technical that I could work with, or something that maybe Clayton says that plants a seed, or a little trick of judo that Scott picked up along the way. But, you know, that would obviously be up to John, and taking nothing away from the camp that he's got. I mean, you know, Winkle John and Greg Jackson. I mean, they're probably doing some stuff with him. So I don't really know what his position is down there, but you know, I think as John grows older and matures, you know, wisdom comes with age and experience. So I'm in John's corner. I'm really rooting for the kid. I'm hoping he does good things, man. He's a sensitive guy. People have to realize that when people say things to John, like him or not, it really does affect them. I mean, I've seen him snap back at a couple of our friends. Lexi's tweeted a couple things, and he's gone as far as to kind of snap back at her. And you know, you gotta realize that, you know, if you're in the public eye and you're, people are gonna be critical, and they're gonna criticize the things you say, the things you do, and the things that you try to perceive yourself as being. I believe in John. I think he wants to do the right thing. I think he's going to be, hopefully, the person that he wants to be. And I believe that he's working towards that. But he is a sensitive guy, and he really does care what people think. So when people are out there throwing dirt balls at him, you know, they affect him. Maybe he'll get past that. Maybe he won't. But, you know, I don't know. I'd like to see John do good things in the future.
Yeah, and full disclosure, you know, now that it's over, I do have to admit that, you know, I won't say that I was a John Jones fan, but I did, he did impress me, and, you know, I didn't dislike the guy. I thought he was an impressive fighter. His fights were badass to watch. You know, I'm just not going out there buying his t-shirt or anything, but I was impressed with him, you know, but, you know, he signed the dotted line against Chael Sonnen, and once that happens, you know, you're automatically an enemy of this podcast. That's just the way it goes. I hope he somehow understands that, even though, you're right, he did call my Twitter girlfriend, Lexi, an idiot. It was ridiculous. but yeah, actually, me and Lexi, we broke up again today. So who knows what's going on with that.
I'm sorry to hear about that. Yeah. And I hope that gets better for you. I've been there, brother.
Yep, it's
stay strong.
Yep.
Well, this is our opportunity for, because, you know, the dark side doesn't join anything. People
right.
join the dark side.
Damn right.
When it was an opportunity, you know, for you know, John to come over and join the dark side. So we will extend our hand and our lightsaber out to him.
Right.
John, if you decide that that's something you want to do, then throw on the black and gray jersey and come on over, man.
You're damn right. It's not too late, Johnny Bones Jones. Even though I just want to, now that it's all over, said and done as far as the Ultimate Fighter goes, I just want to confirm just from you, he never did, he welched on that bet. He never did wear the Team Sonnen jersey to a training session, did he?
He didn't. No, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because the season's over. These are the things we can talk about now.
Yep.
He lost that bet fair and square.
Yep.
And
he gave his word. He shook on it.
Yeah, I mean, your word on the street is everything, and John put his word on the street and didn't follow through. So I think you're absolutely right, John. You know, you want a truce. You want to make it right with the fans of the dark side, then you need to tweet out a picture of yourself in a Team Sonnen jersey. You want to make it right? I'm just saying, these are the things that you need to do, John. So, and unblock me on Twitter as well.
No kidding.
That's some bullshit.
He still has you blocked.
I'm still blocked.
Can
you believe that?
It's almost been a year. He even met you and talked to you in person. Shit.
Yeah, he mooned me. He mooned us and everything. And the guy can't even unblock me on Twitter, John. That's some bullshit, man. Come on.
Yeah, we actually, fight week. It was Elena Danielle. Elena. Well, that's her Twitter name.
Yeah.
You can give that out if it's her Twitter name. Elena Danielle on Twitter. She did come on fight week. From Jersey. She was on the podcast. She told us about that mooning issue, but, you know, it was just hearsay.
She was standing right next to us.
So you can confirm it. It actually did happen. He exposed his bare ass.
It absolutely 100% happened. Oh. And you know what? It was a harmless joke. John did it to get a laugh out of us.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for John, man. I mean, you know,
It was funny.
We laughed, and then you know, the story got retold. Our good friend Front Row Brian picked up on it, and then once it hit the airwaves, it was a wrap. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was funny, man. We laughed. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, John's got to be careful. He's got a title, and obviously a reputation that he has to uphold. But I get his sense of humor, man. Me and that guy talk so much shit to each other. In fact, he asked me, true story, he asked me about me talking about bringing him, you know, me working with him.
Oh, no
boxing
shit.
Coach.
All right, I got
to
hear
this is a true story. So he comes up to Scott. I got there, I think, on Wednesday. Scott there, and Clayton got there on Tuesday. Scott goes, he goes, John came up and started giving me a hard time. I guess, well, what was? He goes, well, he comes up to me. He goes, hey, man, that's some crap that you would say that. He goes, I was just joking about that. He goes, I didn't really think you were going to take it out there and make a, you know, make a public. And Scott kind of shakes his head, and he goes, okay. And Scott didn't know what he was talking about. And then John made another comment, and finally Scott goes, wait, he goes, what are we talking about? And he goes, you went out and told everybody I try to recruit you as my coach. And Scott goes, oh no. He goes, no, you're talking about Jamie. And then John's whole face changed. And he goes, oh,
he got told wrong.
He goes, oh, that makes sense now.
His people couldn't
so
even
John
get the story
sees
right.
Me, so John sees me in the lobby, and he comes up and he goes, kind of said the same thing. He goes, man, I was just joking about that. He goes, I didn't know you were going to go out there and actually tell everybody. I said, John, look, man. I go, if you give me that type of ammunition, I go, you better expect I'm going to put it in the clip, I'm going to load the thing, and I'm going to start firing shots. I go, I'm just saying, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to pull bullshit. If you give me that type of ammunition, expect that I'm going to fire shots at you. And you know, he kind of laughed about it or whatever. And because I told him flat out, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And so we had a good laugh about it, and that was about it. But then he had, you know, inadvertently remembered that he actually did say that. And not only that, but, you know, like I made the point before, it's on video. Nothing happens in the tough gym without being on video. So obviously nobody could deny it because it's out there. But it was a pretty funny story. And me and John kind of really talked a lot of crap back and forth on this show. But it was always kind of good natured fun.
Oh yeah.
You know, I like, you know, capping on each other too. So we had a good time. I always kind of liked John. So, yeah.
It's great for the, yeah. I mean, that story, that whole exchange and you telling it, let's be honest, it just fueled the fire a little bit, like in some small, I mean, it probably even sold a pay-per-view or two, you know what I'm saying?
That's, man, give me my 10% commission. That's all I'm asking.
Yep. I wish, man. But, do you know, well, all right. A little bit back to the fight. All right. I have to ask you of all people, the stoppage, do you think it was too early? I mean, what did you think about the actual ref just stepping in and calling it a few seconds before the end of the round? And of course, I mean, it's more than likely, it's almost a certainty that if it had gone the full round, Johnny wouldn't have been able to answer in the second. So what do you think about the stoppage and the fact that it looks like Chael was seconds away from a championship by a technical decision?
I don't know, man. I don't even want to think about that.
I know. What about the stoppage, though? I mean, was that early?
No, I think it was a little early.
I think it was definitely.
I don't think Chael was hurt. I mean, he wasn't. As soon as it got stopped, I don't know. Yeah, do I think it was stopped prematurely? Sure. You know, I don't want to get too critical of the refs because they do have a tough job out there. But
yeah,
I think it was stopped early. Yeah,
the refs do have a tough job, but, I mean, holy shit, this was a title fight. Give the man, like, he wasn't dazed. His eyes weren't going all over the place. He was covering up. It was not all over, as fucking Mike Goldberg would say. Like, you know, he wasn't saying that. I mean, of course, I mean, I'm just going to be honest here. John was winning the fight, but that was not a point where you step in and say the man is not intelligently defending himself, though.
Well, you know, and that's a move that we worked on in the gym. I mean, we defensively go into a defensive posture, and right as tail was getting ready to spring up, that's when the ref stopped it.
Yep, because John Jones is going to come down with those elbows. So, of course,
well, yeah.
What else are you going to do? You're going to cover up your damn face.
Well, we want him to think that we're in a vulnerable position so John gets more aggressive with his offense. And then the second Chael's ready, we spring on him, right? And that was the plan. I mean, we worked on that for like 4 months. And for the ref to just go in there and totally discredit our game plan, mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I'm disappointed. I mean, you know, we were just getting ready to spring, yeah. And that's when it got stopped. So, yeah, unfortunately.
The thing is,
I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like in MMA, or at least in the UFC, as far as these refs are concerned, the rope-a-dope technique is probably impossible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's probably impossible. Yeah. Because the ref's going to step in. I mean, if it looks like you're taking a beating, even though that's what you plan, you want to wear the other guy down because you don't think he can last, the refs aren't – I mean, what ref is going to allow it? I mean, Big John McCarthy might. But, unfortunately, we didn't see him. It's a we got a caller calling into this. You okay with taking a call, Jamie?
Hey, why not?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see here. Caller, mystery caller, you're on the air. The Word on the Street podcast with Coach Jamie, living legend Huey. How are you doing, sir?
It's no mystery. It's me.
How's it going, Alan? Mr. Alan, Team Sonnen. Team Sonnen member, Team Dark Side member for life. We talked earlier, Alan. I'm not going to lie to these people listening. I think we hear a little bit in the background. Are you willing to say what you're up to right now?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. You're on with Coach Huey. We were actually, to bring you up to speed, we actually just got done talking about the main event at UFC 159. So I was just going to ask the coach, you know, it's all over, 159, a title fight at light heavyweight. Of course, after the fight, you know, I'm sure, you know, Chael gets drawn off into the media, the press conference, getting checked up by the doctors, and then it's more media, and then sleeping, you know, just finally getting out of the way. So have you had a chance to talk to Chael Sonnen since the fight? Do you know how the champ is doing for real right now? Because we saw him on UFC tonight, but, you know, have you gotten a feel for what he's up to?
Is that for Alan or
no?
For me?
Sorry, that's for you, Coach Jamie. He was probably too busy after the fight, you know, going back home doing media and stuff. Have you had a chance to talk to Chael since the fight? Do you know how he's doing?
Yeah, I saw him after the fight over in the hotel lobby. I was having a drink with a couple friends over there, you know, he came in and obviously I saw Claudia and his family and saw Chael, gave him a hug, told him I was proud of him. Then obviously, you know, he went up and probably went to sleep. When I saw Chael Saturday evening, ran into him, talked a little bit. He looked good. He was in good spirits. So, for Chael, the thing is, man, you know, he's always going to show up to the fight. You can always count on Chael, regardless of win, lose, or draw in the next one. Man, he's one of these guys that, you know, he's not going to give you advice unless he's willing to take it himself. And he gave me some of the best advice I ever got in my life. When I was kind of going through something, he said, "Look, man," he goes, "you don't go when you're ready. You go when it's your turn." And that's one thing about Chael, is he definitely lives by what he says. He's not a real preachy guy, but when you do get something out of him, you really got to pay attention and listen to it, because it's really coming from a good place. And, you know, I'm proud of him. You know, and he'll always answer the bell. So, you know, it's a matter of what he wants to do after this. I'm always going to be in his corner. So, we'll see what happens.
There is nothing like a Chael Sonnen fight, and I wish I would have been there. Alan, you were there. You did meet the People's Champion. You did see the fight. You had the UFC VIP experience, that ridiculously priced ticket. I don't even want to say how much that was. But now that the fight is over, Alan, have you heard, speaking of what Chael's going to do next, have you heard anything about this crazy, and I'm going to ask you too, Coach Jamie Huey, have you heard anything about this crazy rumor that Chael Sonnen wants to buy a piece of the WWE? Alan, I know you're a huge wrestling, professional wrestling fan, huge WWE watcher. You've met CM Punk, this and that. What do you think, just as a fan, about this rumor that Chael wants to actually buy a chunk of the WWE?
I don't know. Even if he really wanted to, as you can see, the McMahons are a very greedy family, as they wouldn't even let CM Punk walk Chael out, even though I tirelessly tried to, you know, get that set up.
No kidding, man.
I don't think that they would ever sell, even if Chael overpaid for what it was worth. I just think they're obsessed with their last name, and that's, you know, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Did you offshoot here? Did you get a chance to meet CM Punk?
Yeah, that's like the third time that I've met him.
I gotta know, at the third time, does he remember you at all? Seriously.
He knows my face because of, you know, I gave him that Sonnen Says shirt last time. But to the fans outside of, like, the, you know, the WWE experience, when he's, you know, he's just in normal Phil mode, when he's not being CM Punk, he's not too friendly. And I can understand why, because I'm pretty sure he gets mobbed, you know, everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
At the actual fight, you know, I think only me and my brother, while he was sitting down, were the only two people that even asked him for a picture. And, you know, I made sure I asked before we even walked over there. I kind of, like, pointed at my phone, and he was like, yeah, come over.
yeah, bring it on. Oh, Jesus. Those poor people, man. Coach Jamie Huey, I'm sure this is, like, out of your field here, but do you know anything about whether or not Chael Sonnen is intending to purchase the WWE organization?
Well, I know Chael has he has several financial advisors on payroll. So,
yeah.
You know, what type of advice they're giving him, I'm not really sure. You know, I'm sure obviously he needs to invest his money, you know, in smart business ventures. So as far as that's the WWE or wherever he decides to go with it, I have faith that he's got the right people around him telling him the right thing. So I imagine if that's the smart thing to do with his money, then that's what he'll do.
In the past couple days since the news broke, past 2 days, I've been getting a few tweets from WWE fans. So, you know, I've just got to ask you, Coach, has Chael ever spoken about possibly wrestling professionally in the WWE to you?
No, not really.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I keep trying to tell these people. It's all just a damn rumor. Now, Coach Huey, the word on the street listeners and Team Sonnen, we have one of them right now, Team Darkside member, Team Darkside family. Alan is on with us right now, but the rest of them are going to kill me if I don't ask you about them, because I believe you got a chance to meet some of them at UFC 159. In general, that fight week, did you get a chance to connect with a lot of fans and friends, or was it all just one big busy rush and, you know, you couldn't really meet anybody off the Twitters or and whatnot? Did you meet any of the Dark Side?
I did. I met a ton of people. I almost feel like if I start shooting out people that I'm going to start missing a couple and
yeah.
I'm going to feel guilty. but I met a ton of people. Everybody came up and you know, slapped hands, and I spent quite a bit of time with KG down there. and then also Uriah and several of the other guys from the show. You know, they're very accessible. The fans came up, took pictures. So it was a great experience, man. I mean, you know, we really have a solid group of you know, Darksiders on Twitter that are very loyal to what we're doing, the cause. And so any opportunity that you get to spend some personal time and just be people, man, it was fun. So I really appreciated meeting everybody over there, and Mr. Team Sonoman and everybody else that had the opportunity to have a conversation with and everything. It was cool. You get to kind of put the faces with the names.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely one of the highlights of the trip for me.
Yeah, speaking of Twitter, I did check out your tweet from last night. It was a Joe Rogan video that you tweeted out, and I ended up, you know, watching the whole damn thing. And it was like, hell yeah, Joe did actually retweet it to his million plus followers, which is fucking ridiculous. Like, I have 1,000
yeah.
followers. He has 1,000 times that. That's preposterous. But it made me want to ask, you know, you've, you know, cornered some fighters. You've been at the UFC events. Have you ever actually met Joe Rogan?
Yeah, I've probably, I don't know, at least a dozen times as far as, you know, slapping hands, hey Joe, how are you? I'd say the most amount of time I spent with them was when I was working with Mike Pierce. We went down to the Helium Comedy Club here in Portland, and him and Joey Diaz did a show down there, and we had great seats. Sat there, watched the show. After the show, Mike tweeted him, hey Joe, great show, and then Joe tweeted back, hey, I'll meet you in the bar. So me, Mike, his girlfriend, Joe Rogan, Joe Diaz, Brian Redband, we all went back in kind of a closed little bar. It was just like 7 or 8 of us, and sat back there, had a couple drinks, and just talked MMA and all sorts of shit for probably, hour and a half.
Oh,
maybe.
Man, you met Joey Diaz? You were hanging out and you were dining with the mob boss, Joey Diaz? I didn't know that.
Joey Diaz is a freaking gangster. Yeah, I love Joey, man. I'm a big Joey Diaz fan myself. So I got to spend some time with Joe there. When I cornered Mike Pierce for when we fought Johnny Hendricks, we lost a very close split decision to Johnny Hendricks, who obviously is out there tearing shit up right now.
Mike Pierce is, I'm sorry, you can go on 1 second, but I just want to say for everybody listening, Mike Pierce is one of the most underrated fighters in UFC history, hands down.
So. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you know, Mike just needs to go out there and just put it all out there. I think Mike's got a lot of, Mike's a bad dude. Mike could be a world champion.
He's
if, if he made a couple changes, and I don't want to get too specific, but after the fight, we rewatched the fight as they were streaming it on pay-per-view with Joe Rogan and me, Mike, and Joe, and we had a conversation about how close the fight was, and so yeah, I've met Joe a couple times. Those were the two times really that stuck out because we actually got to hang out and talk about some stuff. So,
nice.
Good dude, very inspirational. I tweeted that out last night, and somebody put it on my Facebook. I thought, wow, that's great. I watched it. I put it on Twitter. I tagged Joe in it. Joe follows me. He retweets it, and literally, like, I don't know, this thing's been retweeted probably, fuck, I don't even know how many times, man. It's definitely floated back out there. So it's kind of, I guess the big picture of it is, you know, you do good things in the universe and it eventually, it comes back around. So the fact that he sent that, and I appreciate it, and I sent it back out, he retweeted it, and it inspired all these other people.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool thing.
No, definitely. Oh, shit, but I'm more impressed that you met Joey Diaz, man. I just want to say, Joey Karate, his Uncle Joey Karate videos actually were the inspiration behind me deciding to start putting out videos on YouTube. If you haven't seen the earlier videos, the Word and Street videos, they're ridiculous, and they mirror kind of the style of Uncle Joey Karate's videos. I hope to meet him someday. The closest I've ever gotten to meeting Joe Rogan was, I think I sent him a tweet. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the podcast episode that Joe Rogan did with when his guest was Chael Sonnen. It was like a 2+ hour long podcast. So I tweeted both of them after that. I tweeted something like they were discussing Bigfoot and D.B. Cooper. The D.B. Cooper guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that pulled off the heist or whatever. So I just tweeted them with my stoned theory. I was higher than Dick Cheney's blood pressure at the time, and I tweeted them both. I was like, dude, Chael and Rogan, dude, what if D.B. Cooper parachuted out of that plane into the woods of Oregon or Washington or wherever it was, and he was actually killed by a Sasquatch, and they took that money. They just took that money, and that's how they're in hiding. And they both had a good laugh. That's the only time I've ever come close to speaking with Rogan. I'm sorry to burden you guys with that story.
No, it's a great story. Be careful about the weed topics, though. You never know who else is on the phone and what they do.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I know. No kidding. But if there is a cop anywhere listening or maybe on this podcast, I just want to say, come and get me. Come and get me. Try to take me down for this. I'll blow the smoke in your face and we'll have a party.
You know that I don't work outside my jurisdiction.
That's true. It is a couple hundred.
I thought I heard a scanner in the background, so I figured maybe there was a criminal on here. I wasn't sure.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I got stuck with building security tonight, so that's why I'm available.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's all we'll say about that. Now, Coach, you mentioned that during fight week, you did meet up with the Twitter followers. You also met up with Kelvin Gastelum, Ultimate Fighter champion. I haven't heard from Kelvin since he won Tough and became famous. So you obviously got a chance to see him. I gotta check up with you, man. Is Kelvin keeping his head on straight, or has he already forgotten about the little people already? What's the word?
No, that kid will never be any different than he is, man. And you know, to kind of speak on Kelvin a little bit, not only is he got the right head around what it is he's doing, he has a girlfriend, Shawnee, who is freaking solid, man. She is so awesome, and I kind of see how her and Kelvin interact with each other, and that's the kind of relationship that I think most people would want to hope to have. Mm-hmm.
I gotta ask, is this girlfriend pre-Ultimate Fighter fame or post? Did he just get this girlfriend 2 weeks ago?
No, you know, Coach Clayton has a great saying. He says, stick with the one you brought to the dance.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what Kelvin's done. He's got a really good girl. So, no, this is definitely pre. And you watching them interact, man, it's really something special. And then on top of that, you know, I had the pleasure to meet his mom, who I call mom now,
yeah.
and his coach, Daryl, all the guys down there at Yuma MMA. You know, if Kelvin isn't doing anything right, he's surrounding himself around good people, and everything else is just falling into place. So I'm really proud of him, man. And then also I was obviously had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with Uriah over there because he's from the area, and I met a lot of his family and friends, and I'm just excited, man. I mean, there's certain guys that you already know that have the right people around them. You know, Jimmy Quinlan and a lot of guys on the team that I knew had the right people around them. But when you get around, you know, Kelvin, Uriah, you know, you really kind of feel that, like, there's, as long as you keep those type of people close to you, you're always going to be successful. So there is no question in my mind that Kelvin's going to completely stay the way he is. I just don't think he knows anything different, and the people around him are going to keep him grounded.
Hopefully, man. He was a damn good guy. I see him doing interviews now on TV, on Fuel TV with John Anik now. And I actually feel proud of the guy, man. And just wanted to thank you real quick for getting him on the Word on the Street podcast twice before he blew up. And, you know, he's unreachable now. He's doing a Hawaii show.
No, No, he'll be back on, man. This show is as much success as we've had in a very short amount of time. It's just going to continue to grow and do big things. So definitely we'll have Kelvin and Uriah and Luke and Jimmy and Gilbert and all those guys that we've had on the show, man. Kevin, we're going to have all these guys back on again. So,
yeah, and we still have a few more to go, actually. I was taking a look at it. We still do need to interview Thor. Torchrong.
And you know, it's just the fact that he's in Sweden.
Yeah.
And the cell phone bill. Only one, I believe, on the team that hasn't actually come on.
He is the only one.
Obviously, I'm gonna nail Chell down. That's actually my fault.
The title interview.
I just haven't quite wanted to bug on.
Me neither, man.
I don't like to ask Chell for a lot of stuff. So,
we got him on the video.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Vinny, Mr. Vinny, no answer to his phone. I'm going to give Vinny a hard time. We'll get that knucklehead.
Yeah, we'll get him back.
Maybe he'll answer his phone this time.
Yeah, Vinny tweeted he might possibly be – oh, man, I'm going to fucking forget. Anybody remember? Hey, he might have a next opponent lined up. He tweeted it out earlier. Fuck, I'm going to –
Anthony Parrosh.
Yeah, Anthony Parrosh. Tony Parrosh. The guy that got – oh, knocked out in, I believe, 7 seconds by Ryan Jimmo in his UFC debut. Do you guys remember that knockout, Ryan Jimmo's debut?
Yeah, that was crazy in Calgary.
Yeah, one-punch knockout on Anthony Parrosh. Vinny's got to beat 7 seconds. I think he can pull that off. He's going to be in a rage losing to Arsenio Hall. But no, he did actually, let me ask you, Coach. Did you get a chance to talk with Vinny about that at all? He did go the distance with a top 10 guy in the division.
Yeah, you know, I didn't. I got to, you know, hang out with Vinny before the fight at the weigh-in.
What'd you think of the fight?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm so biased.
Yeah.
Man. Vinny is such a good guy. But I was also, kind of funny. I hung out with one of Phil Davis's sponsors after the fight and spent some time talking. I like Phil a lot too. I mean, I've met Phil on several occasions, and he's really a stand-up guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now that it's over, I can admit I like Phil Davis. He's a cool guy. I thought that story about his baby mama, whatever that is going on, I think she's a liar. But that's neither.
She probably is. They always play the people.
That's right, man. But
yeah, you know, it's one of those things, man. You know, maybe Vinny's jiu-jitsu is just on another level, man. But and you gotta get the guy in position in order to do that.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me.
I'd love to Vinny to come up and spend some more time with him, working on his striking to transition to the takedown. God, man, if Vinny could get people to fight Vinny's fight, there's not anybody out there that Vinny wouldn't that he could submit. But unfortunately, he didn't put Phil in the position that he needed to be in to give himself the best possible chance of winning the fight. And Phil won the fight. So, you know, it's one of those things, man. Vinny's a fighter. I'm sure he'll go back to the gym and work on those things, and obviously he knows that he's always invited up to our camp, and we'd love to spend some time with him. But you know, it is what it is, man. It was a hard night.
Yeah, obviously
it was a hard night for the dark side.
Yeah, obviously Phil Davis. I mean, we all poked fun at him, called him a bum, but at the end of the day, he is a top 10 fighter for a reason. And yeah, I do agree. It did look like Vinny was just kind of. He was taking it for granted that eventually it would go to the ground. And Phil Davis, I believe he's a Jackson fighter, isn't he? They're always about the keeping the distance and jab and just point fighting. And unfortunately, my worst fear came true. Vinny, I think he got Greg Jackson, in my opinion. I don't know. Alan, you were there, man. What'd you think of the Vinny fight?
Yeah, I just think that he was waiting and kept waiting for, you know, an opportunity. And, you know, eventually Tom just ran out. You know, that first chance whenever he got Phil's back, you know, you could tell Phil was scared. You know, you could see the look on his face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Vinny was real confident. But later on, you know, like when he tried one of his takedowns in like the second or third round, they were so sweaty. Yep. And, you know, he couldn't get Phil pinned up against the fence. And, you know, they just couldn't go anywhere with it.
It was frustrating to watch. So I can't even imagine what it was like for Vinny. But, okay, guys. Let's put UFC 159 behind us, finally. Coach, you know, the fight is over with John Jones, finally. I believe it was the longest coaching, like, stint probably of your career. Is that correct? Was this the longest, like, single fight lead-up and build-up that you've ever gone through?
Well, I mean, it started way back in November. Yep. You know, going down and coaching the Ultimate Fighter for 2 months, and then coming up here, and then you know, I had several boxers that I was cornering at fights. You know, Liz had her Invicta. I was in Virginia doing a seminar for a weekend. I was back here, back to Vegas for another fight. So yeah, it's been a wild ride, but I mean, I've enjoyed all of it. I don't know, you know, I was watching, I think it was an HBO 24/7 or something. I was watching Freddie Roach work with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., and you could just tell that Freddie Roach was really burnt out. I mean,
yeah.
He's kind of going through the motions. Maybe that just happened to be that one particular fighter, but you could see the guy that, you know, he's weathered. That much work has definitely taken its toll physically and mentally, emotionally. I don't feel that. Not to say I haven't been doing it, obviously, as long as Freddie Roach is. But even though it's been a long, year or longer, I'm still excited for this stuff, man. I can't wait. You know, Liz was back in the gym tonight and got some mitts with her. I'm looking forward to the next fight. I don't really have a date on anything specifically, but you know, it's definitely what I enjoy doing, man, so I'm blessed to be able to do it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, well, before I ask about Liz Lightning McCarthy, you brought up boxing. I gotta know, man, did you watch the Floyd Mayweather fight this Saturday? What'd you think, man?
Man, you know, this is so bad because I didn't get to watch it. No, I have it on DVR. I'm going to watch it. I just, you know, it's weird. My amateur coach, who was the president of UFC boxing at one time, Coach Bill Mertz. I remember one time where I don't know who it was. It was somebody was fighting somebody on pay-per-view. And I asked my coach, I said, "Hey, coach, you know, are you watching the fight this weekend?" And he goes, "Is that pay-per-view?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "No, I'm not paying for it." I said, "Why not? That's going to be a great fight." He goes, "I don't pay for fights." He goes, and I go, "But that's going to be a great fight." And he goes, he just kind of looked at me and he was very serious. He goes, "Do you have any idea how much time I already spend watching boxing?" He goes, "I think I'll be okay if I miss the fight." And I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. It didn't make any sense to me. I kind of understand it a little bit now. You know, I'm absolutely going to watch it. I haven't, I think I DVR'd it, but, God, man, I spend so much time watching fights that, 2 days ago, I have an old classic, I have a 51 Chevy that's been sitting in my garage. I called up a buddy. He came over, gave me a hand. We fired it up, got the engine running and,
holy shit.
And kind of, yeah. So, you know, it was outside of my routine. I really had a good time drinking a beer in my driveway, working on my car.
Yeah.
So, you know, too much of a good thing becomes too much sometimes. I don't feel burnout, but that is only because I have to manage certain things in my life in order to stay on top of those. So if I just jump too much into it, and I've made this mistake several times in my life that, if I figure out how to balance it, I still have the ability to put everything in whatever it is I'm doing at the time. So, you know, that's just, kind of a lesson in life that I guess I've been kind of figuring out for the last so long.
No, that's so awesome. Like, I've always wanted to have a few beers while working on like a car engine, except like I know nothing about car engines. I wouldn't even know where to find an old car. That's pretty bad. Like, even though it's almost a stereotype, dude, that's like some man shit, dude. That's why you're the damn living legend, Coach Jamie.
Oh, man. My buddy comes over here and he gives me hand wrenching on stuff, and I kind of follow his lead. I mean, I do what I can to have fun with it, and you know, and it's a hobby, but you know, it's one of those things, man. There, whatever you think you know something about, there's always something that somebody that knows more. Mm-hmm. So, as a coach, I'm always very aware of that fact, and I'm always want to put myself in a position where I don't think I know everything, because I really don't. And every time I learn something, it's one more thing that I realize that I have more questions about. So having him come over and work on a car and showing me some little tricks of, you know, troubleshooting a fuel pump or something was fun, man. So I try to stay coachable. If I ever write a book, that'll be the title of it. It'll say Staying Coachable, because that's really the trick to all this stuff.
Hell yeah! But you are a coach yourself, and I was gonna ask. We brought her up earlier. You are, I believe, coaching Miss Liz Lightning McCarthy. What's next for her? What's going on with that? Are you still working with her? She was on the podcast before. Everyone should listen to it if you haven't. But what's the word on the street about Liz Lightning McCarthy?
It's looking like September. She'll have her next Invicta fight. I talked to Janet the other day, so. We're definitely working on some things. If we can get a pro boxing match, another one in between, we're definitely going to shoot for that. If something comes up, you know, we don't get ready, we stay ready. So I've got a couple people that are helping me out with some stuff with Liz. I hope to always work with Liz. One thing about working with the female fighters, and I might have made this point before, but you know, there's exceptions to every rule, and I've always been fortunate that I work with the people that I want to work with, not necessarily the people that I have to work with. I don't have to do this to get a paycheck, so I'm very fortunate, but yet selective in who I do work with. And the thing about working with a lot of the females is they're in it for the right reasons. A lot of, I hate using that word, a lot of, I'm not going to even use that word because it's generalizing, but there's a certain population of male fighters that do it for the wrong reasons, period. Mm-hmm. Some of them want to throw on a tap-out shirt, you know, get tattooed out, go to the strip club and be a celebrity down the street. You know what? That's not the right reason to be doing this. The females, obviously, that is not a motivation that exists in their world. So when I get a fighter like Liz McCarthy, who grew up in 4-H riding horses her whole life, but she really dedicates herself to her craft, going out there and really, you know, focusing in on the technical aspects of her ground game, of her stand-up game. For me, that motivates me as a coach. And I think what fighters forget is, you know, if you're a guy that doesn't show up on time, you take it half-assed, your coach is going to put a certain amount of effort in. But if you can motivate your coach to motivate you, that's that much more that they're willing to do for you. Liz is the epitome of what that is to me, because I get excited to working with her, because she's such a little worker bee. I mean, she's so coachable. She listens. She's one of my favorite people to work with. So always working with Liz, definitely going to continue to grow together, and she's just going to get sharper and better. And, you know, I don't care who has the 105-pound atom weight title. Michelle Watterson, I think, won it. Congratulations to her. But, you know, we kind of got robbed on that Jody Esposito fight.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I've seen
it
more than a few times. That is a robbery.
We Yeah, we won the first and completely dominated the third round. I don't know if they looked in the corner and they saw Greg and Winklejohn and decided to get starstruck or what happened.
Not only that.
We absolutely won.
Not only that, like, I was listening. I don't know if you've heard the call. It was like even from the get-go, even the announcers, even I love him to death, but Boss Rutten was even just all about that Escobedo, dude. Even the commentary over the fight, they were just like they were angling for her. It was so obvious, but yeah, it was a clear robbery.
Well, here's the thing. I think, you know, people are human. They have bias. They go into things with predetermined whatever. Jody is, she was Keith Jardine's girlfriend. Greg Jackson and Winklejohn are working the corner. So, you know, I don't know if these judges were, you know, this is pre-Ultimate Fighter stuff. So, I mean, I'm not saying we're anything specific or big or whatnot, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe they got starstruck in the corner and the judges decided, you know, it was a split decision. So I thought one of the judges had it figured out right. The other two or five or however many other people were in the corner. Obviously screwed it up, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, Liz is she's undefeated. She hasn't lost a fight.
I
yet.
Agree.
So the judges can say what they want to say, but in my world, Liz is still undefeated.
Yeah, I hope she knows that, and she doesn't just like. I hope she knows that we're not just blowing smoke up her ass. Like she really won that fight. She really did.
Yeah. No, we believe that. We're going to focus a little bit more, and this was one of the things that we really focused on the Ultimate Fighter, the Team Dark Side, was, you know, there's a sign over the locker rooms in the Tough Gym, and it says, do not leave it in the hands of the judges. Yeah. So that is, no disrespect to any other camps that decided to do it different, and you had mentioned point fighting earlier. That's not what we do. We go out to finish fights. We don't want to leave it to the judges because, you know, a lot of the time maybe they're trying to do their best, but they don't necessarily get it right. So if you take it out of their hands, you don't give them the opportunity to screw that
Definitely.
Up. So with Liz, we're going out to finish fights, and Liz has the ability to do that. When we won the first round, you know, give Jody the second round, the third round, we absolutely dominated. We had her back. We were all over her. In that third round, had we started a little earlier, it wouldn't have been a bad decision. It would have been a stoppage.
Yep.
So we'll take credit for maybe not doing everything we could have done, but I can assure you that it won't be a mistake that we make.
And
twice.
We definitely will have Liz back on the show whenever she gets the fight lined up and is getting ready. This is a question for you both, though, getting back to the UFC. You know, obviously this is still, you know, somewhat a post UFC 159 podcast. First time we've spoken to Coach Jamie Huey since UFC 159. So since then, fight's over. I'll ask you both, Alan and Coach Jamie. Alan, you first, though. Chael, he has called out Wanderlei Silva. You know, he's not retiring, which I applaud him for. I'm very happy about. But he did call out Wanderlei Silva. Alan, do you think that fight is actually going to happen? And are you down? I mean, how do you think that fight's going to go? Are you ready for it again? Or do you think he should maybe fight somebody else? What's the word, Alan?
Well, that would work perfectly. I see that scenario probably playing out if everything goes according to plan for the UFC. But there's something that's going to happen in July that I think could mess everything and throw a wrench into that whole scene.
You think Andy's going to get fucked up and lose?
I think Anderson loses to Weidman, and that would be the only way I would see Chael not fighting, you know, Wanderlei. I would see him maybe turning around and calling out
so
Anderson.
So you think no matter what, it's going to be Sonnen versus Silva, you just don't know which one?
You don't know if it's going to be Wandy or the cheater.
I hear
you.
Which fight would you rather see at this point?
I really think that at some point, Chael's going to get another shot. It maybe not for a title, but he's going to get another shot to fight Silva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind him fighting Vanderlei right now. I mean, Vanderlei's coming off of a win. It's against, you know, Franklin. I mean, it's against Stan. You know, he's still a big name. He's not the, you know, he's at the end of his career. He's a lot more susceptible to the KO than he was earlier in his career. I think it's a good matchup for Chael. I mean, Vanderlei, you know, he's terrible off his back. And he's, you know, had problems in the past with fighters whenever they take him down. You know, that's the fights that he's lost or he's gotten knocked out. He doesn't have – he trains jiu-jitsu, but I don't even think I checked his record. He doesn't have any submissions off of his back. So, I think Chael, if they fight, even if it's a five-round fight, Chael wears him down and probably gets the finish around round three or four.
Oh, yeah, Vanderlei definitely does train jiu-jitsu with the Nogueira brothers in his bedroom, allegedly.
Which means they play with mud.
Vanderlei Silva, I was going to ask you a follow-up, but you kind of already answered it, Alan. Vanderlei Silva, is he a bum? Yes or no?
I don't think he's a bum. I just think that if the other guy doesn't come out and stand and bang with him, then, you know, he's not going to win a fight. If the, you know, like Brian Stan, if Brian would have taken the fight to the ground in that second round, it would have been done. He could have finished Vanderlei. I mean, it's because he came and he fought Vanderlei's fight. And, you know, that's all it is. It's, you know, the UFC matches people up with Vanderlei. That way he can look good and, you know, still be a marketable name.
Well, I'll keep my lips tightly closed. I will not remark on the Vanderlei versus Brian Stan fight. If you need to know about that, just watch my upcoming film, The Last Stand. Coach Jamie Huey, Chael Sonnen announced after the fight that he is not going to retire. Not going to retire. He is going to fight on. Just that alone, I just wanted to get your reaction on. And also, he called out pretty much Vanderlei Silva. What do you think about that and the fact that, you know, he's not retiring?
Well, you know, on a different tone, you know, as far as that goes. I support Chael, whatever he wants to do. As long as Chael's doing the right things for Chael, then I'm always going to be there to support him. You know, so it's really not about, you know, some of it's, you know, whatever it is, you got to say do for the next fight. So if that's, you know, what Chael wants to do, then, you know, I'll always be there for him. So having said that, it's like, it's not one of those situations where, you know, the people in his camp, want Chael to continue to fight because, you know, that's the golden ticket. Or, you know, if Chael said, look, man, I'm done tomorrow, then I'd be, you know, just as happy as everybody, would be for him. So, Chael's still got a lot of gas in the tank, man. He's got a long ways to go. And, hopefully we get another shot at Anderson, because I know there's no question in my mind. I know we can beat that guy. We've done it. You know,
beat him again.
We've gotten caught twice. You know, it's like, you know, we've won 32 minutes of fighting Anderson. And he's beat us for less than
both times
minutes.
Losing by
so
mistake.
I know that
losing by a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. It was a misunderstanding. I mean,
you lost because of Eve Levine the last time.
yeah. So, you know, I'd love to get that Anderson fight again. I don't know if it's for the title or not. You know, I agree. I think Weidman has a really strong chance of going out there and putting it on Anderson. But you know, and then. Obviously, you know, Chael got hijacked in a van from Vanderlei once upon a time on video, which, you know, Chael didn't back down either. But so I know that's a fight that Chael wants. So, you know, whatever he decides to do, man, we're just kind of the support team. You know, we you know, he's the guy that makes those decisions. So I'm excited about both.
Yeah, you know
fights.
That encounter in the van with Vanderlei, that actually happened in my hometown of Austin, Texas. So the Sun and Silva fight, that beef started right here in my home city. I actually, in the last Word on the Street podcast, I revealed the truth about, you know, how the van was involved in a police shooting, and I bought the van. It's in my garage right now. That's the damn truth, people. But yeah, Chael facing Anderson Silva a third time, I definitely agree now. It does make sense, especially, let's face it, if Anderson Silva is going to sign a 10-fight new contract, like everyone's been talking about, 10 fights, let's be honest, he's not going to go undefeated 10 more fights, all right? He'd be approaching 40 years old. I don't believe he wins the next 10 fights in a row, unless it is totally rigged, like a Goldberg WWF kind of deal.
Or if Eve Levine refs those fights.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no way he wins 10 fights clean in a row. So yes, I believe if Anderson Silva does sign on for a 10-fight contract, one of those fights should be against Chael Sonnen, Sonnen Silva 3. Just because, I mean, from a business perspective, you're gonna sell those pay-per-views. Nobody's gonna be protesting the fight if Anderson Silva does indeed lose to Chris Weidman this year or anyone else. Once they're on the same playing field again, Sonnen Silva 3 is definitely one that the fans are gonna want to see, and I'd honestly want to see it right now. But Coach Huey, do you think the Ultimate Fighter's over, UFC 159's over. Do you have a good grasp on whether or not you are going to stay on the Team Sun in camp, that side of things? Or, where are you at right now, basically?
Oh, no, absolutely. We go back after, do some recalculating and figure out what the next move is. But, Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I'll always want to be a part of what Chael does. And I've said this before, I've always been, humbled by Chael. He calls me coach, but, to be completely honest with you, I've always felt like I've learned more from Chael than he's learned from me. So, absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm always humbled, and it's really an honor to work around for a guy like that. I mean, I've learned a ton of stuff from him myself. So, whatever he decides to do in the future, like I say, we'll go back, recalculate the game plan, recalculate his next move, and keep it moving.
Now, I'll just keep it real here. Coach Jamie, I'm all out of written questions. I'm just going to, ask you. Basically, it's all done. The coaching of the Ultimate Fighter, the fight's over. Have you had a chance to breathe out and just I don't want to say detox, but you know what I mean? Is it all real to you now? Does it feel like it's all over now, or is it just another day to you? It's a hard question that I'm trying to ask, but in general, now that it was the final fight, the saga is over, would you say it was a good chapter in your life, or, what's your take?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't feel like it's over. There's always the next thing. For me, I have a lot of goals, and one of them is to see Liz McCarthy get the 105 Adam weight Invicta title.
Oh, yeah.
Chael's got some more fights in him. There's a couple other athletes that I'm working with. I'm excited. I go over to New York, spend some time with Uriah. I've talked to Kelvin and his team about going down to Yuma. I guess on a personal note, I don't know, maybe this inspires somebody or it doesn't, but life will throw things at you, man, and you just gotta be ready for it. I my day job, I've been there 15 years. I just found out the other day that I'm not going to be working there anymore. They're doing some layoff. So it's one of those things, man. It's like losing a fight. You can go home and you can cry about it, or you can figure out how to get motivated and move on. And with a lot of things that are happening, even in my personal life right now, it's kind of weird. I would think that I would be a little bit more nervous about stuff, but yet this is when you feel the most alive and the most ambitious and the most energetic to go out there and make some things happen. I mean, you can't you can't sit around and think too much. You have to. It's like the video. You know, I tweeted out that Joe Rogan was talking about, you know, life and dealing with depression. Like, you have to get up, man. You have to get up and you have to make some things happen. So as far as, you know, taking the question full circle, I don't feel like things are over. I feel like they're just kind of beginning, because every single time I think like, wow, that was it. You know, I was there. I saw it. I felt it. I touched it. You know, there's right around the corner, man. You know, don't get ready. Stay ready, because there's always going to be another opportunity, another challenge, another fight, another opportunity to overcome whatever it is that is put in front of you at the time. So, you know, I'm humbled by greatness because I'm surrounded by it every day because I choose to put myself around good people. And as long as you do that, I think that no matter what happens, you're always going to be okay.
No, I agree, man. And there's no doubt in my mind, you know, obviously, even with the bullshit that's going on, there's no doubt in my mind that you're actually going to be okay. I mean, it's no coincidence that the whole time this, you know, these problems build up, you're building up, you're training for a fight this entire time. It's almost like it all happens for a reason, as cheesy and corny as that sounds. But if you had to do it all over again, the Ultimate Fighter coaching and this whole UFC 159 buildup, you know, the almost the past year, would you do it again? Was it worth it?
Oh, yeah. No question. Absolutely. Yeah, there's not a fighter that goes through that experience that comes out the same. And the same is said of the coaches. You know, it's nice to be recognized for your work. It's good, you know, yeah, you're on TV and you know, maybe somebody sees me working punch mitts, or they heard a little, clip of something that I said to Uriah or something to Luke or to Tor or you know, Kevin or somebody that kind of made some sense. It's good to be recognized for that, but really the most important stuff of the whole thing is the friendships that are developed throughout that show. And you really go through something. You're away from everything, kind of starting over, and the only thing you really have is each other. So for me, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. I would do it again in a second, if asked. And you never know. That's kind of the nice thing coming off the shows like that. I believe that, Uriah or Kelvin or Luke or one of these guys, Jimmy, or Zach, one of these guys could potentially coach the Ultimate Fighter at some point down the road, and maybe I get asked to come in and be one of their coaches again. So, I can never look at this as it's over. I just have to look at it as, wow, that was an experience. What's next?
It was definitely an experience, even for me too, just having your co-host, having you fill us in on what was really going on behind the scenes. Of course, getting the guests on the show, for me, that was definitely great. The Word on the Street podcast would not be the same without you, man. And I just want to thank you on behalf of myself and all the people that have ever listened or followed on Twitter. And I want to thank them too, actually. We're just going to keep it going. And hopefully, Coach Jamie Huey, even though, you know, UFC 159 might be over, the saga does continue. Hopefully, can you just confirm that you'll also still be on board with the podcast and the fans going forward, and the family and friends?
Absolutely. We're going to kind of flip the switch next week. I think we're going to do a little recalculating on this, and I think I'm going to turn the tables, and I think I'm going to have some questions for you.
Hell yeah.
So. Bring your A game next week, man. There's you do a bang up job on here, man. Everybody gets to see you do your work, but I think that I think there's some questions that maybe some of the people out there have for you, want to get a little bit to know about you. So you know what? You guys tweet your questions me at Coach Jamie Huey, and I'm going to put a little thing together next week, and maybe we can get to the bottom of who this ran.
Nice. No kidding. Now that the coach is in between fights, I believe, yes, he will be on the podcast taking on a more he'll be asking some questions himself, and I'll be more than happy to volunteer myself for the first round. It is time that the curtain be pulled back a little, I guess. But yeah, I'm not too exciting to tell you the truth, people. But great. We are going to have Coach Jamie Huey. The podcast is going to expand, get a little bigger. We're going to be bringing in new guests, new segments, actually on Thursday. I'm not sure if you're available or not, Coach, but on Thursday night, which is the new official night of the Word in the Street podcast, Thursday nights. This Thursday, we're going to do our first one. We are going to have Bloodstain Lane from Twitter, from YouTube fame. He's an MMA, commentator, if you want to call him that. He's definitely a figure. I'm just, I have two people on right now. I'll just ask randomly. It might just be me that only knows him. Alan, do you know who Bloodstain Lane is?
Yeah, I pay attention to some of the stuff that he posts and all the going backings on social media with YouTube.
He's a personal hero of mine. Coach, we're going to do it Thursday night. Hopefully you'll be there. But Bloodstain Lane, does that ring a bell at all?
I'm sorry. No, but it will.
Great. I'll actually send you a couple of videos.
I've heard the name. I've definitely heard the name. But I got to get a little bit more up on my street IQ as far as that goes. So I'll definitely, send me some stuff, man. I'll jump on it.
I'll fill you in. Trust me, this is going to be a big one. It's going to be interesting. Actually, just came back to me in a little flash in my brain somehow. It's funny how that works. One more thing about Lightning, Liz McCarthy, Coach, and then I do have one more question for the coach before we wrap it up. But before we wrap it up, Alan, I'll ask you if you have a question for the coach. But first of all, I just want to bring up one thing about Liz McCarthy. I just wanted to point out there is some bullshit going on in the UFC, and I am gonna start an official campaign and make a point about it. Liz McCarthy would fight in the, I believe it's called the atom weight division, 105 pounds for women. Currently, there's only one weight class in the UFC women's division. There's only one division in the women's class. Is 135 pounds. Now, I just want to point out that there is some bullshit going on in that inherently. Obviously, it was tailored to bring Ronda Rousey in, but there's some bullshit. Because how is it that the women's weight class is 10 pounds heavier than the lowest men's? You know, the men's weight class is 125, but the women's is 135. I think it's bullshit. I'm calling you out, Uncle Dana White. Yes, you do put on free fights and, bless us with the greatest sport in modern history. But these women, these 105-pound women deserve their own weight class. I'm calling you out. I will start a campaign. At least have a lower weight class than the dudes. Let's save some. Yep.
Yeah, to stick up for Dana on that though, I think it's important to know that. And Dana makes his point every once in a while, but this isn't the fight game. This is the fight business. You have to sell tickets and you have to market your fighters. Ronda obviously is a big draw. Now, had she went out there and lost to Liz Carmouche, Liz would have been the new champ, and that's where it really would have rallied around. I think Dana is interested in growing the sport for females, and then obviously Janet and Shannon and everybody down there at Invicta's doing a bang-up job as far as keeping it growing on their end. So I think you'll see those weight classes expand, but, I mean, what a shame if there was a 110-pound weight class in the UFC, but Ronda was fighting on some card in, Kansas City, somewhere, right? So I'm about to diss somebody's food. They're going to be pissed off no matter what I said. So I held back on that. Kansas City came to mind because that's where they get to on. But so part I love Kansas, guys. Sorry. So my point
nobody
is,
loves Kansas. I used to live in Kansas. It sucked, man. It was terrible.
So, long story short is I understand why Dana did what he had to do. You got to build the sport. You got to build it around some star power in order to get the interest. And I think Ronda's doing a hell of a job representing for the females out there. So I think with the next Ultimate Fighter coming on, and I think there'll be a lot more weight classes. But I agree with you. I would love to see 105-pound atom weight class in the UFC, just like the 135, because I think there's some really tough girls on there. And again, they're doing it for the right reasons. The sport's going to grow. And love to see Liz under the UFC.
Yeah, and I might have been smoking the Austin marijuana too much, but I believe that there was talk of there being some sort of Ultimate Fighter in Mexico, and the fighters being either 115 pounds males, 115 pounds, or 105 pounds. I don't remember. It sounded totally ridiculous. If I'm going to watch people that weigh 105 pounds fight each other, I want it to be females, all right? There's nobody wants to see – if it's guys, at that point you're seeing little kids fight. I'm sorry.
Yeah, those little guys are explosive, though. I mean, don't sleep on, the John Dobson Mighty Mouse fight. That was a hell of a technical fight, man. I was enjoying that. So, even in boxing, you get the little guys like the Willie Peps. And, I mean, but I do know what you're saying as far as, the when the referee looks like he's three times bigger than the fighters.
Yeah, no, I do love the flyweight class. I am a Mighty Mouse fan, actually. But I'm just saying, if there's going to be a new women's division, it should probably be like a lower class than there is men's, just to do it. I mean, 115 pounds, this tough Mexico is going to be rough. I'm predicting that right now. But I do have one more question for the coach before I just see if Alan has anything for him before we wrap it up. Do thank everybody for their time. But coach, I got to know, what is up with the One MMA gym now? I know it just started. It was formerly the Team Quest Tualatin gym. What is going on with that now? Has it been, has it been a success, or is everybody throwing tomatoes at the windows now? They want their Team Quest back. What's going on?
Well, to be honest with you, what we did was we burned the place down. Yeah. We collected the insurance money. We're doing big things up there, man. We've had so many guys up there working, and it's really been fun. John McGuire, who is a freaking technical savant, that guy, I can't wait, man. You want to see somebody do something spectacular, look out for John McGuire coming up. I'm not sure what UFC he's on, but God, that guy is so talented. He's going down a weight class. But, Luke and then Chael and all the guys that, we've had opportunities to come up to the gym. Shout out to Mike Doce, because I don't think I got to mention him yet. We're really doing some good things up there. I believe in our team. I'm excited about the future. So that's definitely it's a good thing, man. We're like I said, the secret to my success is to surround myself around good people. And I'm definitely doing that at the Team Quest gym. And sorry to change the subject real quick. If you're in New Jersey, stay out of the taxi.
What is the deal?
My God,
I saw some tweets. What the fuck? What happened?
I got in a taxi with my friend Amber, who I mentioned earlier, was one of Phil Davis's sponsors. And what started out to be the worst taxi ride in all of taxi ride history actually turned into be probably the funniest taxi ride. This poor guy had no idea where he was going. He had an old GPS that looked like, I don't know. At one point, I took the GPS off the window and I put the address in myself. And we would drive 400 feet. It would say, 400 feet, take a left. we'd go 400 feet, we'd take a left, and then the GPS would say, recalculating. And it just did this all night. And at one point, we took four lefts in a row. Now, what happens when you take four lefts in a row? You end up exactly where you started. This guy, we get to the hotel, finally, it was terrible. We went from Newark to Jersey City or wherever. We finally get to the hotel, and the guy pulls in, and we're just like, you know what, just let us out here in the middle of the street. We'll just jump out of the taxi because, like, I can see the hotel from here, and I'll walk the
way. He wants his money, right?
He stops. Cops pull up behind us, turn on their lights, get on their foghorns, and say, keep it moving, get out of the way. And you know what? It was still like, no, I'm getting out of this taxi. I don't care. You can arrest me. Get me the hell out of this taxi. We get out of the taxi, start walking up to the hotel. I realize I got out of there in such a rush.
Oh,
I
no.
left my cell phone.
Oh, that's the worst feeling.
I ran so fast. I can't even believe I got to the car before the light turned green. Open the door, grab my phone. I don't even know if I said anything to the guy. Shut the door and got the hell out of there. And immediately went to the bar and proceeded to drink about three beers. Stay out of the taxis in Jersey because there was a 68% chance that we weren't going to come out of that experience alive. So we were definitely lucky to have our.
Oh yeah, man. Here in all it's. I don't even know what a big city cab driver is like. Here in Austin, one of my neighbors is actually a cab driver. That's the only taxi I will get into. He tells me all the time all the stories, like how they rip people off, like how they sometimes actually do drive around in circles just to eat up that cab fare. They can tell when they got a mark, man. God bless him.
No, you know, yeah, I think it became so obvious. I mean, it wasn't. There was no way that this guy was trying to hustle us.
He was just an idiot.
He was embarrassed. We're in the back seat, laughing our asses off. A 20-minute cab ride turned into a 45-minute cab ride, and this guy is driving down streets that lead to nowhere. We're like in the business park, and this guy is driving down, and it's like Bob's Computer Mart. And you can't go any other way because there's a building in front of you. So the guy's got to turn around, and his GPS is saying, recalculating, 400 feet, take another left. So we take four more lefts. We're back to where we started. It was a hell of an experience, but it was actually pretty funny. We got a pretty good laugh at it, and I was trying not to laugh at the guy. But at some point, it became pretty obvious that he had two people in the back seat that had very little. It was terrible, man. It was terrible.
You mentioned you went straight for a beer. I got to know, what's the coach's go-to beverage? What's the go-to beer? Do you have a favorite? Here in Austin, Texas, I got to tell you, we're really, really picky about our beer here. We just like all the bars, like it's not about the liquor and taking shots unless you're actually attending the University of Texas. If you're not, you're all about you have to be a beer connoisseur or just pretend to be. So what are you drinking typically, man?
You know, Oregon. And I'm sure Austin has great beers. Oregon really is known for its premium microbrews. I've been all over the world and had.
Yeah.
So, are you there?
Nope.
Oh, I thought I lost you there. And had several beers from all over the place, but I always love coming home and trying the local stuff. I'm a big fan of Mirapon, the Deschutes Brewery. They better cut me a check for the advertisement dollars that were, great beers here in Oregon, like Tarnahan's and Windmere. So I'm definitely a beer guy. I think over there, I can't remember what I was drinking. The selection.
Just give me anything
at the hotel.
This fucking cab ride.
Yeah, maybe it was set. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like give me anything.
Hey, Alan.
That was terrible.
Hey, Alan. Yeah. You're probably drinking right now as we speak. I'm sure. What's your go-to beer over there in Baton Rouge or wherever you're from, allegedly?
Well, I've gotten to where, like, since I started back running and getting in shape again after my motorcycle accident, that I don't even really drink that often. But if I do drink, it's either going to be a Samuel Adams seasonal, it doesn't matter which one, or it's going to be a Heineken Light.
Yeah, I've always been wanting to ask you, that motorcycle accident, can you remind me how bad you got fucked up? And just real quick, have you ever ridden a motorcycle ever since? Are you done with that crazy shit?
All I did was broke, you know, my left hand, like the metal carpal going through my thumb and through my wrist. So I ended up like sitting on a desk for a couple of months. But yeah, I hadn't started back riding yet. My old lady really doesn't want me to ride because I end up missing out on lots of overtime and lots of extra money. And so yeah, until I move out of the apartment that we have and get a big house or something, which we're saving up for, I probably won't buy another one. I took the insurance money they gave me, and
oh, cool. Just so the bike was actually destroyed then.
Yeah, it was a cruiser, and it had a lot of accessories on it, and with the value of it, they ended up just
good, man. I was gonna say, just do us a favor, don't ride that thing again. I'm anti bike. I'm sorry, guys, and yeah, sorry for the random subject there, but yeah, Alan, did you, before we leave, just want to ask if you had anything for Coach Jamie Huey. We are going to wrap this up. I do thank you all for your time here on the Word in the Street podcast. Alan, you are on with Coach Jamie Huey. Did you, not even, it doesn't have to be a question, but did you have anything to add or say? What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell Coach, it was pretty awesome meeting all of you guys. It was fun being part of, you know, the whole experience. I felt like I was a part of it being there the whole week and then, you know, calling in a couple of times on the show throughout, you know, the season of The Ultimate Fighter and, you know, just getting to experience everything. You know, that it was really awesome. You know, I'd never been to a live event before.
Oh,
and my first one going and, you know, getting to meet all the coaches, you know, even having Coach Clayton and, you know, Coach Scott come and, you know, knock on our door and, you know, come meet us. That was pretty awesome, you know, and then getting to meet Coach Jamie later on was pretty cool. Throw this out there. Next time you're at a UFC event and I happen to be there, I always rent cars. And since, you know, I do drive for a living, I'm a very good navigator. If you ever need a ride, holler at me instead of paying for a cab.
Oh, dude, yeah, me and Amber will definitely take you up on that because, man, that was a hell of an experience in that taxi. No, and, you know, likewise, man, you know, that again, I said it before, and not just The Ultimate Fighter, but this whole experience really, you know, the important stuff is the relationships and the friendships you make, and it was great seeing you guys, man, hanging out with you guys. You know, it was kind of cool every time we come down in the elevator, you know, we'd, you know, kind of run into somebody that we knew. And putting the names and the faces together on Twitter and then meeting everybody in person, you know, was really kind of a fun experience for us, too. One thing, you know, a lot of people don't know about Chael is he's very interactive with his fans, not just in person, but also on Twitter. You'll see people responding back to Chael. And it kind of looks like a one conversation because, you know, he doesn't follow anybody, so he DMs. But, yeah, likewise, man, it was fun and definitely can't wait. Hopefully, you guys come out for the next one and we get to hang out and do it again, man, because really that's what it's about. And really got to give credit to the fighters in the UFC and Dana White and everybody at the UFC that really makes the whole thing so accessible. I mean, you know, you know, Burt Watson's walking around and he's taking pictures with people and, you know, Stitch and House go out of their way. The fighters are very accessible. Obviously, you know, you got to know when to approach them and when not to. You know, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is usually pretty good. Obviously, Friday and Saturdays, they're doing a weight cut and they're focusing on the fight. So that changes a little bit. And, you know, most of the fans, for the most part, are pretty respectable. You do get a couple guys that you kind of got to, you know, I mean, if you want to sign an autograph, but if some of these guys got 7, 8, 9, 10 pictures that they want signed. But I've always been very impressed with all the Dark Side fans because you guys are always very respectable. But it's almost like we don't even, there's not really the fan thing as much as it is seems like as a team, you know. So when you guys show up to these events and we get to hang out and talk, you know, I already feel like we already know all you guys. So it's not really a us versus them as much as it is a we. So
hell
it,
yeah,
it was
a damn good build up. And it does, I got to stress this, it does not end here. The saga does definitely continue.
There's always another silver to smack around.
we do have
right.
a fight.
And see, the thing that there's a new Star Wars coming out, and what people don't know is the dark side actually wins.
Oh,
this
man,
fight,
this
so.
New Star Wars, I have no faith in it whatsoever. I got to tell you right now, that's my prediction. I think it is, like, I think they're going to rape the franchise even more than those new episodes did. I'm not feeling too good about it, man.
Hey, the way Mark Hamill was talking, he was, you know, preaching on he doesn't want a lot of CGI in it. I think they're going to go back to the roots. I think they saw the mistake that was made with the last three, and they're definitely going back, and it's going to be a more well-balanced approach to the series. It's going to be storytelling and, you know, the centralized characters from the first one. And I, you know, I'm very pessimistic. I do not like Marvel movies. They're terrible. You know, they CGI and they're just fluffy. I think these are going to be
all right. Yeah, Superman movie's pretty good. But yeah, I hope they bring back, I mean, the CGI and the new Star Wars movies was fucking ridiculous. I love the puppets. I hope that Jim Henson fucking studio gets back involved. Coach Huey. Yeah, what's your go-to Star Wars movie or episode? What was the best for you?
Well, you know, I mean, I grew up in that era collecting Star Wars figures as a kid. And, you know, I mean, you know, Star Wars was an awesome movie. Probably Empire Strikes Back was the best of all of them. As for me, though, I mean, I really enjoyed all of them. You know, I even the bad ones with Jar Jar Binks. And, Star Wars movies are like hot wings. Even when they're bad, they're still pretty good, you know. So, hopefully they kill it on this next one. I had a good time. One of John Jones's coaches down there on the show, John Wood, who owns the Syndicate MMA in Las Vegas, he's a big Star Wars fan too. So we kind of clicked on that vibe and kind of went back and forth on some stuff. So he's really got a lot more knowledge on the movie coming out, but I believe he said that he was excited, and he actually coaches Amanda Lucas, who's George Lucas's daughter. So if he's excited about it, then I can't not help but be excited about it.
Check out John Wood's tattoos as well, because they're all excellent, and they're Star Wars related.
You guys that hardcore?
Yeah, he's got like yes, bro. He's got Yoda and like Jabba the Hutt, like going down his calf. And
yeah,
oh man, they're all tattoos.
Yeah, he's tattooed.
Well, I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't kill himself, because I have a feeling that these new movies are gonna be a damn disaster. But who knows? We'll see. I did see the new Superman movie. It was pretty fucking good. But that will conclude the podcast for now. It's sorry for going so long, but it was great talking to everybody, Alan. Coach Jamie, the living legend, Huey. We will be back, hopefully with the coach, not sure yet, on Thursday night when we interview Bloodstained Lane. But it was good just recapping The Ultimate Fighter, UFC 159, and seeing where the coach is. He will be joining us going forward. That is the best news I could have hoped for personally. Thanks, everybody. So I'll just say good night. And, I'll definitely put this podcast together, get out there as soon as possible. But I can't say it enough, guys. Thank you all, and see you later.
Kaboom.
Bye.